And our scripture reading today is from the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And I'm going to begin reading with the 18th verse of Hebrews chapter 12. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. The word of God for the people of God. You know, over the years, I have had in my possession a number of wonderful things that I wish I had held on to. There was a 1966 Plymouth Barracuda that my wife brought into the marriage. And I'm not going to tell you that story because it just makes her mad. There was a 1973 Jeep CJ5, four-wheel drive, soft top, V8. That thing would climb a tree. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? We only got stuck in it one time, and it was in a snowbank outside of Red Lodge, Montana, and we were really stuck. And there was a house that we used to have. It was a house outside of Charleston, West Virginia, in St. Albans. It was a wonderful house. It was my wife's dream house. It was all this stuff. I say I wish I'd have held on to it. She really wishes I'd have held on to it. We'd have held on to it. How's that? It was just a beautiful big old farmhouse with a wraparound front porch, and all our kids were there, and my mom was there. We had a wonderful time in that old house, and there are wonderful memories that we have of it. Then there's all the money. Can I get a witness? There's my youth. We won't talk about my hair. I'm just going to go ahead and preach. But stuff is hard to hold on to. And it seems that God really does not want us holding on to stuff. Did you just follow along as I was reading from the passage of Scripture there in Hebrews chapter 12? Seems like he doesn't want us holding on to stuff, so he keeps shaking everything up. Or maybe it's that he puts us in this unstable world so that we will learn to reach out for him. Now the Hebrews, the folks who received this letter, the folks that this letter was written to, the Hebrew believers, First Christian Church Hebrew. They were shaken. That's the reason that this letter was written to them. But they were not reaching for God. They were scrambling to hold on to the stuff that they were losing. Any of you guys ever read the book Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance? You read that. You read it. It's about 50 years old, that novel is. You guys show your age a little bit. And I'm using it for the sermon today, so that says something about me too, right? There is a story in that book. There's not much in there about motorcycle maintenance, by the way. But there is a story in there about monkey traps. And it's about these people who trap monkeys, and the way they did it was they would take a coconut and they would hollow the inside of the coconut out, and they would put rice, they would cut a hole in the coconut, and they would hollow it out, and they put a hole in there, and they would put rice inside of it. And when the monkey came along, he would know that there was rice in there, and the hole was just big enough for him to get his hand inside and grab a fistful of that rice. There's a problem, though. There's a problem. The coconut, you see, is chained to a stake that is securely in the ground. And the hole is not big enough for the monkey to pull his fist out. You can get his hand in, but he can't pull the fist back out. And so the monkey will stay there because the monkey believes more in the fistful of rice than he does in being free. The monkey won't let go of the rice, even though it means being trapped and eaten. Can anybody identify with this story? It is hard to turn loose of stuff. It is hard to stop believing in stuff that you can see and touch that has always served us well, so that we can reach out for a God that is intangible. Isaiah 58:9. It's a passage of scripture that shows us a picture of what God wants us to learn. In Isaiah 58:9, the prophet writes and he says, "You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here am I.'" Isn't that great? When the stuff that we believe in, the stuff that's secure, the stuff that we hold on to, somehow comes loose during the shaking, and it's not any benefit to us anymore. We don't have it anymore. We can't hold on to it anymore because, like I said, the world we live in is unstable. It's shaky. When that happens, what God wants us to do is God wants us to reach out for Him. He wants us to do just what the prophet says here in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 9. He wants us to cry out to God for help. Now, what's another way of saying that? What's one word that we can use for crying out to God for help? Come on, help me. Prayer, isn't it? He wants us to pray. And prayer, my friends, I believe, is the most natural thing in the world. What do y'all think? It really is. It's natural for us to cry out to God when we need help. Solomon wrote that God has put eternity in our hearts. So prayer is not something that is unnatural. And God says, this is the response, God says, "I'm right here." You like that? You know, I think probably one of the most effective prayers that I've learned to pray is, "Help!" And when I pray that way, how does God respond? "I'm right here." But there's more to Isaiah 58. There's more about what it means to reach out to God. God says, "I'm right here," but what does reaching out for Him mean? What does it look like? I'm going to suggest to you today that it's not just a prayer that we pray. It's not just a prayer that needs praying, but it is a way of living that needs to be found. Jesus said, by the way, I am the what? I am the way. He also later said, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and maybe I can paraphrase it this way, all you who are all shook up. How many of you remember that Elvis Presley song? All shook up, right? Was it Jerry Lee Lewis? He used to sing about that too. Whole lot of shaking going on, right? All you who are shaken up, Jesus says, get in the yoke with me and learn from me. Listen to what Isaiah says. This is what it looks like to reach out to God. He says, do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk. What does that have to do with prayer? What does that have to do with making it when everything that we believe in is suddenly no longer there or no longer secure? All the stuff that keeps us going and makes our life wonderful and meaningful has suddenly disappeared. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Have you ever noticed what we have a tendency to do when things go south in our lives? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me and some other people, okay? Anybody here ever blame other people? It's Washington, amen? Come on. It's my wife. It's my husband. It's the neighbors, right? But not only does he say, stop with the finger pointing and the malicious talk, he also says, stop with the yoke of oppression. Stop using other people to keep your stuff. Come on. Stop using other people to provide you with stuff and to help you to feel secure in this shaky, unstable world. And quit blaming everybody else. And then he says, spend yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed. Not only does reaching out to God mean to stop blaming, to stop using, to stop cursing, but it also means that we need to get outside of ourselves and we need to reach out to those around us. We reach out, it seems, to God by reaching out to one another. Is that possible? We connect with God by connecting with others, by giving and by receiving. In the midst of a world that's falling apart, Isaiah says, pray. Isaiah says, and not only that, quit using and blaming people and learn to get out of yourself and begin to touch those who surround you and join them in fixing stuff, in making things better, in getting together, in becoming kind of like a church. Does that make sense to anybody? Oh, Jesus said this. If you find your life, what will happen? You'll lose it. If you find your stuff and you get it all gathered up and you get it all in a bag and you think you've got it all and everything's just finally right, what's going to happen? All of a sudden, everything's going to start shaking and there's going to be a hole ripping the bottom of the bag and there it all goes again. Come on. Can anybody testify to what I'm talking about? But he said, if you lose your life for my sake, what? You shall find it. You will find it. That's proper English. But doing that requires us to live out of a sense of abundance instead of being driven by a paranoia of scarcity. But Isaiah says, when you begin to do this, when you begin to live this way, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. This is a picture of the kingdom of God as it's presented in the book of Revelation 2. The Bible talks about the kingdom of God when it's here in fullness. There won't be any need for light because the Son of God will be the light. And he says, Isaiah goes on in Isaiah 58, and he says, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You start living this way. Start living this way, what's going to happen is all the stuff that has fallen as the earth has been shaking, you're going to be able to rebuild. And you will be called repairers of broken walls, restorers of streets to dwell in. In other words, out of the rumble will rise, excuse me, out of the rubble, not out of the rumble. There was a rumbling going on, and maybe there was some rumbling going on too. But out of the rubble will rise something, believe it or not, that we will never lose. I work with groups. That's part of my work. Always has been most of my life. I've been a preacher, been a pastor, worked with groups. But now I work with group therapy. Is this preaching stuff kind of like group therapy? I don't know. But to be honest with you, it's hard to convince people often to try group. Now, where I work at the hospital, that's primarily what we do with senior adults. We work with groups, people who are struggling with depression or folks who are struggling with losses, there we go, people who have grief, adjustment stuff. We try to get them to join a group, and we do this group work with them. But it's often hard to get people to try group. But after they've been in group for a little while, it's amazing. You know what people tell me? I sit oftentimes as people speak with the doctor. Our folks see the doctor once a month at least. Some of them every 90 days, depending on different things. But I listen to people as they talk to the doctor, and the doctor will say, how are those groups going? And you know what they say? A lot of them, not everybody, but a lot of people say, that group has saved my life. Now, I am taking an opportunity to plug the work I do at the hospital. I know that. But more than that, I'm really plugging the fact that for us to reach out to God means that we've got to reach outside of ourselves and we've got to reach out to others of God's children. And I think that's what Isaiah is saying. People tell me all the time about their experience with group. The most important thing about group is I found out that I wasn't alone. What that means is not just I found group, but it also means I found God. Now, some of those people would rather dive and say they found God. But does that mean they didn't find God? Is it possible to find God and not know you found God? I'll let you think on that for a while. And the last thing he says, or the last couple things he says, call the Sabbath a delight. And this is, again, about reaching out to God. Call the Sabbath a delight. Don't curse the Sabbath. Bless it. Embrace it. Now, that's not Isaiah. That's my commentary on Isaiah, okay? Embrace rest. When we talk about embracing Sabbath, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about embracing rest. We're talking about embracing allowing God to move in our lives and not depending solely on our stuff and our human abilities. And that's what Sabbath is really about. And he says, you will find your joy in the Lord. Not in a 66 Barracuda or a 73 Jeep CJ5 or a big house in West Virginia with a beautiful lawn. We will find the joy that is God. So what is the unshakable kingdom that we are receiving? Paul said there are only three things that remain. Do y'all remember what they are, 1 Corinthians? What are the three things that remain? Faith, hope, and love. Those are the three things that Paul says remain. Faith is our confidence, not our stuff. If you have confidence, even if you lose all your stuff, you'll get more stuff. Come on. Hope is what we're looking forward to. Hope are the promises that God invites us to. Hope is the life that the world is groaning for. And this table represents to us that God offers us that life. That what was flowing in the veins of Jesus inside of Christ can come inside of us. And so we eat it and we drink it. Hope is all we see in Christ, including his resurrection. Wow, that was a great sermon last Sunday. Did you like it? Not everybody got to hear it. Listen to it on the website. I think it's there, isn't it? Listen to it. Loved what Pastor Tanya said. She said, we are Easter people. Do you believe that? And love is who we are becoming out of the integration of faith and hope. Not just something we feel, but who we are in spite of what we feel or in spite of what we have in our possession.
Who gave his son for man to die?
Jesus Christ. May you go from here reaching out for that which is unshakable as you reach out for him who is unshakable. Amen.